Luke chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You got to think about that for a minute. Jesus said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. But he said, the harvest is great. Praise God. The harvest is great. It's not what it looks like, it's what it really is. The harvest is great. Amen. Yes, the laborers are few. Not many want to labor, but the laborers are few. Amen. And we need to pray for more laborers in the field. But he said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Not sheep, but lambs. Little lambs among wolves. And I want to talk to us tonight for just a little bit about an atmosphere of distractions. An atmosphere of distractions. Can we pray together? Somebody lift your voice and pray with me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God. Isn't the Word of God wonderful? You can be seated tonight. God bless you. I want to just take my time here tonight. I know it's the enemy. Everything's been going good through the whole service, and here we go. You know, as followers of the Lord, we must maintain a proper perspective about this glorious way that we're walking in tonight. And it's so very, very easy to get sidetracked from the main thing. Somebody said one time that we need to keep the main thing the main thing. It's so easy to get distracted into other things. The Lord, the Bible says that we have been called to be lights in the midst of darkness. And I believe tonight that this is by design. Amen. It is by design that the Lord placed us in a hostile environment so that we would look unto him and so that he would get the glory for all the great things that are accomplished. Praise God. Praise God. I don't believe tonight that we are going to be able to cross the finish line without his help. We've got to have God's help in order to cross the finish line. Amen. And so with this in mind, there are many times that the obstacles that are before us, everybody said before us, and behind us, everybody said behind me, and on either side, amen, all around us, it seems as though it would be a circle of distractions, and we are right in the big middle of that circle. Amen. Then sometimes these things overwhelm us, and we begin to get our eyes off of the mark and get our eyes off of the prize that is before us. And so I guess I would just say simply tonight, that we are placed in a hostile environment. Amen. And we've been put in a place where we are outnumbered, a place where we are overwhelmed, a place where we are insufficient to do what we've been asked to do on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. And we have been placed, as I've already said, in this circle of distractions. An atmosphere where if we are not careful, we can get off track. Somebody said amen. 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 It is so very, very true. And Jesus said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And I began to think about wolves and how they operate. Wolves always run in packs. And when they get hungry and they want to get some food, they attack from every different direction. One wolf will come to the front and distract the victim. And while he's doing that, another will come from behind and grab him by the leg and try to knock him down so that the others can pile on and they can kill their victim and eat it. And whether we realize it or not, there are wolves that are waiting. Amen. You're going to face the wolves of this world, and it may be that you will face many of them at the same time. Well, somebody help the pastor here tonight. Amen. I felt like the Lord gave this to me for this service here tonight. These wolves of distraction, they come in different shapes and sizes. And I want to just talk about a few things that I felt on my heart. And one of them is the wolf of distraction of being busy. Amen. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Well, praise God. Now, I know that we are in a very, very, very busy world. Every one of us are very busy. And I'm not here tonight to condemn anyone that is busy. But we must be careful that we get too busy to spend time with the Lord. Somebody said amen. That we get too busy to spend time with our family. Somebody said amen. That we get too busy that we are not faithful to the house of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. We've got to be careful of this wolf of busyness. And there are so many cares in this world today, but many, many times they are nothing more than potential distractions. Amen. A wolf in sheep's clothing, a wolf that looks so innocent on the outside, but on the inside it is so hungry to destroy and to lick the blood of its victim. Amen. And I was so thrilled. I was looking, someone popped up on Facebook that I know from Boston. He is one of the ministers in the church in Boston where we were at. Brother Bennett, the pastor's son. They have some little ones, some little children in their home. And they gave a praise report that while they were having their daily devotions at home, their family devotions, their daughter received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues for about a half an hour. We ought to thank God for that. Amen. But it is so very easy. It's so very easy for the wolves of busyness to come to the front to distract. And before you even realize what's happening, there's another one in back of you that is trying to grab at your heels, amen, and to bring you down to the ground, struggling to get back up, amen. There are wolves of distraction that come in the form of sin. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Amen. Or in your minds. Praise God. And sin is brought out. We know Galatians chapter 5, and it talks about the works of the flesh. We're living in a generation today where the culture of sin is everywhere. And I want to just say tonight that we must be careful because once sin traps you, there are many, many that never make it back out. They just never make it back out. They are consumed and devoured by the wolves of sin. Sin is never fulfilling, and sin is always progressive. It always gets worse and worse. And many have fallen into this trap. The sins of pride and lust, we know everything that's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are the things that are in the world. Galatians 5 and verse 19, I won't read those all tonight, but it talks about the works of the flesh, which are sins. And the Bible says, whoever does these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We must be very careful that sin does not make occasion in your life. Amen. Because one little sin will lead to another sin. Amen. One little lie will lead to another lie. And before you know it, if you get away with it a few times, you can actually get the idea that that's the way to operate. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight that sin is a very, very consequential situation. It is a very serious matter that we must consider. Amen. Young people, you've got to beware of the sins of the flesh. Amen. Got to be very aware of the things that are around us. And you go to school. If you go to public school, there's going to be kids at public school. And they're going to say, well, everybody's doing it. It's not that big of a deal. Your parents are old-fashioned. The pastor's old-fashioned. We're living in a new generation, a new culture, and all of that. I'll tell you, all it is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, praise God. That's exactly what it is. And the sins of pride and lust come from everywhere. And we've got to be aware and fully ready to defend our walk with God. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I know I'm not jumping up and down here tonight, but this is a very important message. There are wolves of material possessions that can overcome your life and destroy you. And here's one of the reasons why. It's because everything that we own, almost everything that we own, requires our time. If you have a car, it requires time to change the oil, to take it to the car wash, to clean it out, to get new tires on it. You have to mow the yard, if you have a yard that you have to mow. And it takes time. And the mower that you use has to be maintained. And it requires your time. If you have a house tonight, does everybody have a house tonight? All right. Maya has a house tonight. She's the only one that has a house. Well, if the rest of you need a house to live in, you can spend the night in the church. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. If you've got a house tonight, then the yard's got to be mowed and trimmed, and additions to your house take time and money, and hobbies that you have take your time and your money, and they say that the bigger the toy, the bigger the older the boy. Amen. And it seems to be that way. The internet is something that will take your time. Somebody said amen. Don't get quiet on me tonight. Buying a book will take your time. YouTube will take your time. Games will take your time. Amen. And they look so innocent, and they can turn on you on a dime, and before you know it, you're spending hours and hours and hours of your life on something that is not going to be eternal at all. Well, praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, praise God. He got too busy with his Xbox. I don't even know what that is. I don't have one. Got too busy with his Wii. Got too busy with his hobbies and his interests and his entertainment. And they say that every civilization that has gone down, like Rome and Greece and nations that are like that, they were overcome because they got excessively involved in sports and entertainment. Praise the Lord. That's exactly the truth as far as history is concerned. And the wolves of material possessions can overcome your life. Amen. We are also surrounded tonight by the wolves of evil spirits. Amen. Whether you realize it or not tonight, there are evil spirits that are walking to and fro up and down in the earth. There are spirits that that have been assigned certain areas of the earth to rule and to manipulate and to control. And if you don't believe that, all you've got to do is read the paper about what's going on in Washington. It is the seat of Satan. Amen. And not just Washington, Moscow, Beijing, and capital cities and so on and so forth. The Bible says that we wrestle against spirits. We wrestle against the spirits and princes that are in high places. Amen. It's not just a man that's been voted in by the public. It has been motivated by the devil to put them in those positions. And you've got to be careful for the wolves of evil spirits. Amen. Evil spirits will come. Oh, God, help me here tonight. I really want to minister to somebody's heart here tonight. There are evil spirits that come along, and they bring fear, they bring depression, they bring anxiety and struggle and temptations, and a host of many other things as well. They can come in so many, many forms tonight, but many, many have been destroyed because they allowed the wolf to get close to them and destroy them. Now, I'll tell you, one of the things that we're facing in our generation today more than anything, well, I say more than anything, it's one of the ones that is at the top, and that is, well, praise God. I think we're all old enough here tonight to understand and not to be offended, but child molestation is a very real situation in our world today. I was shocked when I read that there actually is an organized situation where there are people that are called finders, and they will get an order for a white child that's 5 years old, and they will go and search and look, and they will find that child, and they will steal that child, and they will sell them to the underground markets for some perverted individual to find a moments of pleasure with. We are living in that day today, and as I read, they said there are some hubs, some main places where these things go on, and one of them was Wichita, Kansas. I read that for myself, Wichita, Kansas. Amen. We've got to be aware of the wolf. Amen. And I'm not here tonight to sow fear into your heart, but to help us to realize that we've got a job to do. And I'm on a negative note right now, but I'm going to turn it around to a positive note here in just a little bit. But these evil spirits, amen, they will come in so many, many different forms. They will come in the form of a boss or a coworker that despises your walk with God and tries to get you to be quiet. Well, praise the Lord. They will come in the form of a pretty little girl. Maybe even an apostolic little girl. Amen. And she just, she's perfect except for maybe one thing. She loves rock and roll music or some sort of worldly activity. I'll tell you what we need more than anything is we need to realize there is a pack of wolves in our world. The wolf will come in the form of a seductive woman on the job or a guy on the job that he understands me where my husband doesn't understand me. And they can come, as I've already said, as the kids at school saying that everybody's doing it. But listen to me tonight, young people, everybody's not doing it. Everybody's not doing drugs. Everybody's not having relationships with everyone else. Amen. Everyone is not considering whether they're a boy or a girl. Come on now. We're living in a generation where there are many wolves that have been let loose, and they are on the prowl because they are hungry for the blood of the souls of mankind. Amen. It can be the spirits of hell that oppress you in the night. I remember when we moved to Boston, and it was a real eye opener when it came to spiritual battle. And we moved to a city, and I got a job quite a few miles away from the house, and I would leave the house early in the morning to go to work. And a spirit would get into bed with my wife. And I've mentioned this before maybe once or twice. And it was so real that she actually thought that I had come back home. And it would walk across the foot of the bed. It would lay down in the bed. And it sowed fear. It sowed all of those things into her heart. Amen. There are wolves that are everywhere. Amen. They will sow fear in your heart. I remember as a child, I was not in the church. I didn't know anything about the Lord. But there were many, many, many times as a young man that spirits of hell would come into my bedroom and I would have the reoccurring nightmare of some vicious, evil, terrible monster that was trying to grab me and take me away and devour me. And I would know the very night that it would happen because as I would be sitting in the house and I would be looking at my mother or my brother or my dad, and all of a sudden a spirit of fear would just come over me. And everything in the room would get small. It would look very small to me. I know that sounds crazy. And it happened even while I was in high school, and I would wake up in the middle of the night screaming at the top of my lungs. But I'm so thankful that when I got the Holy Ghost, praise God, in 1974, I believe it was in the month of May, that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I questioned in my mind, will this go away? Will this spirit? And later on, I realized it was a familiar spirit that came from generation to generation, amen, and was trying to influence my life. It stopped. I've never had one again. Praise God. You know what it was? It was a spirit of hell. We don't have to live that way. Praise God. We don't have to live that way. Amen. They will speak words of gloom and doom and defeat to you. They will tell you that you're no good. They will tell you that you don't have a chance. They will tell you all sorts of things. And the scheme is to think that to believe the voices that we hear. Amen. But tonight we don't need to listen to those voices. Somebody said amen. I'm just talking to us here tonight. we're surrounded today by the distracting wolves of money problems. Now, I know it's going to get real quiet here tonight. Those spirits of hell, the spirits of the wolves, if you please, they will tell you that you have so many financial obligations that you cannot pay or give of your tithes and your offerings unto the Lord. And it will cause you to become a thief before God. Amen. They'll take away your time and lure you into schemes or make you believe that you've got to work all these hours and not have any time for God and not have any time for family. Folks, I'm telling you, it's not the will of God. Did you hear the pastor tonight? It's not the will of God. Amen. They'll take away your time. They'll lure you into big, big money-making schemes. I remember many years ago on the East Coast, there was a fella that came up with a scheme. And he went to the preachers of all people, and he told them, he said that the GM Corporation made too many Cadillacs. They were overloaded with Cadillacs, and they wanted to do something to bless preachers. And so if you pastored a church, all you'd have to do was come up with a couple $1,000s, and at a certain point in time and place, a new Cadillac would be delivered to you care of General Motors. And there were a number of preachers that fell into that trap and that scheme, and it was even enhanced because they actually bought a Cadillac and gave it to a preacher so that he would pass the word around. I just got my Cadillac, and everybody just pitched in thousands upon thousands of dollars, and you know the rest of the story. When they got to where the car was supposed to be, there was nobody. They couldn't find him, and he walked away with who knows how many thousands of dollars. Amen. Well, praise God. I know that doesn't relate to us here tonight, but there are many, many things that come along that says you've just got to have this. And the trick is to look at their language. And they say, you've got till midnight tonight. Amen. And if you don't get it by midnight tonight, you're going to lose out and the price is going to double. Amen. Well, I've checked that sort of thing out before when I was tempted. And I waited past the 24-hour period. And Brother Greg, it was still saying, you got till midnight tonight. Amen, to buy this thing or whatever it is. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you that what we need to consider is that money problems are the number one cause of divorce in America. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't expect anybody to get up and shout and run the aisles. But young people, get your financial life in order. Don't buy things that you can't afford. Amen. Don't get into this borrowing trap, amen, that says you can buy it now and pay for it later. Oh, you can buy it now and you don't have any payments for 6 months or a year. You know what that is? That's a big trap, because for 6 months or a year, they're accruing interest upon the principal, and you're actually going to end up paying more in the end. Praise God. And it's very difficult today to buy a house without getting in debt. But I'm telling you what, if you're wise, You can save tens of thousands of dollars. You can get into a better financial position. Amen. If you're wise with what you do. I remember when we purchased our home, we had to finance it. And I made up my mind that I would pay extra every month on the principal. We didn't have a lot of money, but I decided that I could afford $50 a month. And $50 a month doesn't seem like a whole lot. But when you consider that it reduces your principal and it reduces, and I know we're into a financial seminar here tonight, but these are wolves. I'm telling you, they're wolves tonight that will affect your spiritual walk with God. Amen. The reason, let me get back to that. And you put $50 a month on your principal. And the more you pay on the principal, the quicker you will pay off the loan. And after a few years of adjustment of that $50 a month, I upped it to $100 a month when things were going a little bit better. And I paid a little extra on the mortgage. And then it was $150, and then it was $200. And a 30-year note was paid off in 20 years. Amen. Or I forget, it was a 15-year loan, and we paid it off in 10 years or whatever. And I figured it out, and we saved tens of thousands of dollars by being wise in just a little thing. Amen. Well, praise God. You know why we have Pentecostal tippers? They tip God. And they'll get their envelope out and they'll put down tithes, but it's really not their tithes, it's just a tip. Amen. To make themselves feel good. But I'm telling you tonight, God's blessed us with 90% of our finances. 10% is His. He gave me the whole thing. Amen. But if I give back to Him, I'm going to be blessed. Some of you might as well say, amen, you know what I'm talking about, because you're faithful and you're giving to God. But it's a wolf that will tell you, oh, it's all right. It really doesn't matter. And we get to the place where we sign a contract and we say, I will pay back X amount of money. And by the time it's over with, we have to give them the car back. We have to give them this back. Because we have not been good financial stewards. I'm telling you what, the Bible calls that covenant breaking. And I know there are serious consequences, or not consequences, there are serious circumstances that come up in which people have no choice. But I'm telling you what, I've seen people. I know one individual, and later he committed suicide. He was in the process of going to go bankrupt and just go bankrupt. And before he went bankrupt, he got as many credit cards as he could get, and he charged them to the max and then filed for bankruptcy. You know what that is? That's thievery. It's just thievery. And later, his sin led him to suicide. Well, praise the Lord. Let's move on. You know, there are wolves of society that are roaming to and fro. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I think probably I pay too much attention to the politics that's going on in our country. And the situation that's in our world. Well, somebody said amen. Amen. I'm sure everybody here tonight knows the name of the president. Does anybody not know the name of the president? All right, meet me after church. I'll let you know what his name is. Amen. We know those things. We know what's going on in our world today. And I'll tell you what, I'm just totally disgusted by what's going on in our country today. I'm not going to preach a political message here tonight, but we have never seen this in the history of our country, where a group of people are breaking the laws of the land and violating our Constitution and saying it's all right. And they're doing it right in front of everybody, and it doesn't seem like this evil can be stopped. It's so easy to get mad. Amen. But you know what it is? It's just a distraction. Think about it tonight. Rome eventually passed a law that it was the law that you had to be a Christian. You know why? Because there were so many Christians that were fed to the lions, and there were so many Christians in Rome that there was no way they could overcome it. And they didn't overcome it by politics. They didn't overcome it by signing up and running for a particular office. They didn't do that. And folks, our answer tonight, and I thank God for those that are there that are fighting for truth and fighting for what is right. But in the end, we're all going to stand before God. The most important thing is to keep your focus. That's really what I'm preaching tonight. And these and many other wolves of distractions, amen, make us feel overwhelmed and we want to give up. But what we need to do, and I read the scripture tonight, we need to cast aside every weight. Everybody said weight. Cast aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And folks, let's start running this race for Jesus. Amen. Because one of these days, the president's not going to be the president anymore. Somebody else is going to take his place. Amen. One of these days, our senators are going to change hands. One of these days, we're going to have a different mayor in our town or wherever you live. Things are going to be different. Praise God. But there's one who rules everything, and he's always in charge. He can't be cast out. Amen. What we need to do is cast aside these things and start running for the Lord. You say, well, I feel like a lamb among wolves, and there's no way that I can win this battle. What we've got to see tonight is that we are like little men. Amen. We're like little children, weak and unable and not able to do anything for ourselves. Little lambs can't do anything for themselves. But they are placed in an A1 Abrams tank. Amen. Loaded down with ammunition, loaded down with everything that we need to defeat any enemy that would come against us. Well, praise God. I'll tell you, it would be a fool's errand to be in battle with one of those things. That's the most formidable tank that's ever been built. Can't be destroyed, and it'll go 70 miles an hour, powered by a turbine jet engine, and can shoot on the fly. It can jump and in the air shoot its cannon and hit its mark dead center every time. I'm telling you what, they don't want to mess with one of those tanks. And we've got something that's just about like that. Amen. We are little lambs, but we've got the Holy Ghost tonight. We are children of God, and it seems like we're overwhelmed by the situations of life. But friend, we are not defeated tonight. We are not cast down tonight, but we have something that is greater than anything in this world. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. He sent forth the 70, but now he's talking to the 12. And he sent them forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost house of Israel. As you go, sign up to be a senator. As you go, go and meet the mayor. As you go, try to make some sort of a political statement so that it will affect people and everything will be all right. He didn't say that, did he? He said, as you go, preach. Everybody said, preach.
Preach.
I'm trying. Amen. Preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. You don't go out and preach. We need to change our senator. We need to change our government. We need to change this, that, or the other. Amen. What we need to preach is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's more than just preaching. Heal the sick. Yeah, I know it got quiet right there. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Oh, them devils, those wolves that come around. We've got the authority to cast them out. Amen. We've got authority that we don't know we even have. Praise God. You'll enjoy this one. I got a phone call the other day from Brother Scott. Y'all know Brother Scott. And he's quite an individual. And he's got an office in the church that they built. And it's down this long, dark hallway. On one side is the evangelist quarters. The other side is his office. And he's got a push-button lock that will unlock the door to his office. This just happened a couple days ago. And he was there by himself. He left his weapon in the pickup truck. He carries a weapon with him wherever he goes. And all of his boys carry weapons wherever they go. And it's just the way things are. And he left it in his pickup truck, walked down that long aisle. He was there at the church by himself. Doot, 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 doot. Punched in the buttons, opened the door. And when he opened the door, a 6'2" man was standing there looking him in the face. And he said, it was just spontaneous. He said, I didn't even think about it. He jumped back. The man came out of the door. He was actually a criminal. And he had broken the window in the office and had climbed into the office. And he was going to go look for food or something to drink or whatever. And he jumped back and he put his hand out and he put his other hand back like this and said, stop, I've got a gun. Oh, I wished I could have been there to see it. I guess they've got it on the video. Amen, their security system. Praise God. And he said that 6'2" man who had taken down police officers and had spent 3 days in the wilderness there jumped back, slammed the door, and climbed back out the window. Praise God. Well, you might think this isn't too good here tonight, but I'm telling you what, we've got authority that we don't even know that we have. We need to exercise the authority that God has given us. Amen. Go and preach the gospel. Amen. I'm not going to preach bad news. I'm not going to preach my troubles and my problems. Amen. But I want to pray for somebody that's sick. Amen. I want to pray for somebody. We don't have lepers in our country, but we have spiritual lepers in our country. Amen. He said, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Don't worry about your finances, because God will take care of that too. Amen. The laborer is worthy of his hire, is what Scripture says. Neither two coats, nor neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. I want to read that Scripture. Let me get there tonight. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. And then he said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Amen. Scripture that we looked at tonight. But in Matthew chapter 10, he sends forth the 12. And he says, for the workman is worthy of his meat. But he doesn't stop at verse 10. He continues on in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise as serpents. I know how to defeat this situation. I know where I stand in the Lord, and these wolves are not going to destroy my life. He said, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake and for a testimony against them. Does that sound like revival to you? It doesn't sound like it in our ears and in our minds, but it is the will of God. He placed us in the midst of wolves to be a light to shine and to stand for God. Somebody said amen. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Praise God. And then he says, a brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Oh, this sounds like what we want to be involved in here. That sounds like a real exciting way that he's placed us upon. Father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. Amen. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Praise God. If they did it to the Lord, they're going to do it to you. He's placed us among wolves. But here's the good news. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15 through verse 18. Elisha's running for his life, as the Old Testament prophets did. Oh, we want glamour. We want everything to look just right. We want to be in the right style of the day. Amen. Our focus is not upon soul winning, but it's upon having friends. There's nothing wrong with having friends. But I'm telling you what, we have been called for a purpose and for a reason. And here the man of God, he didn't have a Cadillac that he was driving around. He didn't have all the friends in the world. It seemed like everywhere he turned, he had enemies. And he was risen up early and gone forth. Behold, a host. Everybody said a host. That means a lot of people. They compassed the city. Now they're in the middle of this circle. And all these distractions are coming now. A host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. Now think about this. They're coming after two men, the man of God and his assistant. Amen. Just two men. They had horses and chariots. Why did they need horses and chariots? Elisha didn't carry a weapon. His assistant didn't have a weapon. But they had horses and chariots, and they surrounded the city like they were in the middle of a big war. I'll tell you what, the enemy knows what's really going on. He knows that he's got to really build up his forces against a child of God, against a little lamb because that little lamb is more powerful than all of them put together. Praise God. Behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. But they're not going to let out how they feel or what they know. All they're into is intimidation and control. I'm talking about the wolves of this world. And they compassed the city with horses and chariots. Got a little bit nervous here, and the servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" How's it all going to work out? Amen. Thank God for a man of God. And he answered, "Fear not." Everybody said, "Fear not." Those of you that have been here a long time, you know Brother Westberg came and preached that message. Fear not. Some of you might remember that. Came and preached that message. What a tremendous message he preached in this pulpit. Fear not, for they which be with us are more than they which be with them. Now, wait a minute. It's two, and out there, there's hundreds. How can you say there is more for me than there is for them? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord was with him. And the Lord is more and mightier than the whole world combined. Amen. Praise God. Just talking to us here tonight. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And I pray tonight that the Lord would open my eyes that I might see. I pray the Lord would open the eyes of this congregation that we may see where we are and the power that has been invested in us. Amen. The armor that we have, the offensive weapons that we have that are so powerful in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. He said, "Open his eyes that he might see," and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. Amen. It's like 100 people surrounding you, and all of a sudden there's 100 F-15s flying over. And they're flying with their afterburners on. Fire coming out of the back. Fully loaded with armaments and weapons. We could wring our hands and say, "We're surrounded. Oh, these bad things are happening to me." But I'm telling you what, we've got to ask the Lord to help us to see. How many is willing to ask the Lord that? "Lord, help me to see. Help me to see. I don't want to see the wolves. I don't want to see the distractions. But I want to see what you're getting ready to do and what is available and what's backing me up." I'll tell you what, one man that will preach the gospel, God will back him up, and 100 devils can't stop him. Can't do it. I'll tell you what, we've got a power tonight that we need to be able to see, full of horses and chariots. And they came down to him, this group that encompassed the city. And Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Lord, smite this people, I pray, with blindness." Amen. Where's that in Scripture, Brother Charlie? Where's it say in the Bible, if somebody comes against you, just pray, "Lord, make them blind"? That doesn't sound very compassionate, does it? "Lord, just kill those wolves." We had a preacher here, brother, trying to remember his name now, and he was here, one of the older ministers, and he's known for spiritual battle. He was preaching in a church in California. His name, Brother Moody. He was preaching in a church in California, and the service had started, and he was... in the pulpit, and two men came into the church in the front of the church, and he said the devil just walked into the church. Do you know how he is? The devil just walked into the church, and I want everybody to pray right now that God will kill him. And the pastor said, now, I've prayed a lot of prayers, but I've never prayed that God would kill anybody. But he said when that man spoke those words, both of those men ran back out the door of the church. They ran out into the parking lot and got into an argument with each other and were fighting each other trying to get into the car to get out of there. You know what? All it takes is a word of faith. You might pass that off tonight, but I'm telling you what, when we speak the word of faith, God hears our words and God hears our faith. God is with us tonight. God is for you tonight. And it doesn't matter what hell can bring against you, God is for you. Can you say amen with faith tonight? Praise God, God is for me. And so when the wolves start approaching, it's time to step up and speak the word of faith. And when you do, God's going to work miracles right before your very eyes. Tonight we sit in a field that's ready to harvest. And I'm not looking at somebody else's field or somebody else's harvest. I'm not looking for a place that the grass is greener, but I'll tell you what, there's a revival right here. Wish more folks would say amen to that. There's a revival right here. There's gold just under the surface waiting to be dug up. A labor to go into the field and to sow the seed of the Word of God. That's where the church has revival. That's where every saint of God develops joy. You're not going to develop joy just by coming to church. That might cause you more troubles than anything. But you know what will help you to make it through anything? Get your bag of seed and go out and start telling others about what God's done for you. And it won't be very long and you'll forget about all the other troubles of your life. Oh, they'll come back up and you'll have to deal with them and all that. But there'll be a joy in your heart when that one person comes to the altar with tears streaming down their face and they repent before God and watch them be filled with the Holy Ghost. They'll think that you are Elijah the prophet. They will look up to you. You'll feel so good, not because they're looking up to you, but because you were able to help somebody in eternity. Amen. What are you doing with your life tonight? What are we doing with our lives tonight? Let's stand together. Just outside the doors of this church, there are souls that wolves are bringing down right now. They've surrounded the lives of individuals. And some are snapping at the front, and some are snapping at their heels, and they're wondering what it's really all about. And it's not just the drug users. It's not just the thieves that work in the night and in the daytime. It's somebody that you work with, somebody that has a big smile on their face all the time. And nobody knows that when they go out into the car after work, they spend some time weeping because they don't know what to do with their life. Nobody knows that, but God knows that. Amen. Open my eyes that I might see. Come on, let's pray that prayer right now. Open my eyes that I might see, Lord. I want to see what you have called me to do. I want to see not the distractions, not the circle of distractions, but I want to see the chariots of fire in the mountains round about. Help us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Stir our hearts tonight, God. God, it's not about me. It's about you. It's about others. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the work of God. It's about eternity. It's not a time to spend all of our time for earthly things, but it's a time to give God a portion of our life because He gave us our life. Help us today. Come on, somebody, talk to God, will you?